We're going to continue our series, Overcoming Tough Times. We've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, that we're in one of three categories, right? We're either in a tough season, we just came out of a tough season, or you're getting ready to go into a tough season. Somewhere along the way, every one of us have these tough seasons in our life. And so if you're not going through a tough season now, maybe you just came out of a tough season, or maybe you're just saying, there's nothing wrong right now, Pastor. I say right now, you save these messages, okay? Save these notes, because you're going to come a time in your life you're going to need to pull these back out and say, God, I'm going through that tough season right now. What was Pastor Gene teaching? What was Pastor Gene saying about walking through our tough times in our life? We all have them. We all go through tough times. And, you know when it's tough times, when you wish that the day you thought was tough would just come back. You know what I'm talking about? When all you had to worry about was the flat tire, all you had to worry about parents coming home, whether or not your house is going to be clean, you thought that was a tough day. I'm talking about you wish those days would come back. You wish those days of normality would come back to your house. You redefine tough times when you are going through times where it seems like, man, I have never walked through this much struggle in my life. I've never walked through this much pressure in my life. I've never walked through this much adversity in my life. Then you know you're going through a tough season. But I say, congratulations. Turn to your neighbor and say, congratulations. Because you have a chance to grow. Because God is going to grow you through your tough season. It's through these darkest hours. How many know that a photo is developed in where? In the dark. Now, some of you say on the computer, because you know that I got to use this illustration, because pretty soon these kids will have no idea what I'm talking about in front of them. A photo is developed where? In the dark? What's he talking about? You just take it and put it on the computer. For those of you who are old enough, remember, the photos are actually developed in the dark. Now, some of them aren't developed anymore, so we don't have to say that, because they're just instantly digital there, okay? But a photo is developed in the dark. It's through the dark that we walk, that God defines us, that God takes us through. It's through the dark hour that we find out what are we really made of. You know, you find out who your true friends are when you walk through a dark season. I mean, when the blessing's there, everybody's around, aren't they? Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody wants that. It's fine when the blessing's there, but when the blessings aren't there and you're walking through a tough season, you find out really who your true friends are. The same way in our life, when we are walking through a dark season, God's finding out who really is a Christian. Not beyond just saying it with the lip service, but who is really going to stick it out? Who's going to persevere? Who's going to hold on to me, not when they are just getting the blessing, but who's going to hold on to me when they're hanging on to a promise they can't see? Who's going to hold on to me when it's dark and they don't know where it's going to come? Who's going to hold on to me when they don't feel my presence every day the way they used to? Who's going to hold on to me? It's during those times of tough seasons that God is developing us, and he's using it as we use pressure with our children to bring them to points of refocusing. Isn't that a good way to say grounded? And we make our kids through periods of stripping away blessing out of our life, so they can refocus on their grades, they can refocus on their attitude, they can refocus on their work ethic. As parents, we take charge and we make sure that we take away the necessary things to get their attention so they refocus on the right things in life. All right, now put the same principle in our life. If God refocuses me, as many times God will pull back and cause us to walk through tough times so that I refocus back on the things that are most important. And what's most important is not my degree that's hanging on my wall. What's most important is not the car that's hanging in my, that's sitting out in my driveway. What's most important is not the handbag that ladies you're carrying today. What's not so important is not the status or my position. What's most important is my relationship with Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, he's not going to say, hey, bring all your stuff. No, he's going to say, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? And what did you do for me? What did you do? Who are you bringing with you? Not what are you bringing with you? Who are you bringing with you? Oh, come on. You know what? I'm preaching better than what you're saying. Amen this morning. This is really good. Now, last week, I really stepped on your toes. We talked about saving our families before they need saving. And I appreciate many of you text me or sent me a Facebook message or whatever. Say, Pastor, that was right where I needed to hit. It hit me really hard. How many know sometimes when it hits us hard, that's okay. Because that's God. God moving us and pushing us to refocus back to where he wants. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, the God of more or less. The God of more or less. Our text is going to be very short this morning, but it's in Matthew 18:20. Let's read our text together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, we've heard this scripture quoted quite a bit, but today as I speak this message, I want to know that I'm talking to the people who you thought about you were walking through a tough season. You think you're walking through a tough season, but you thought you were about to walk through a season of surge, and you realize you're walking through a season of purge. You thought you were walking through a season of addition, but you realize you're walking through a season of subtraction. You thought you were walking through a season of dreaming more, but instead you're seeing dreams come to fulfillment less. I want to focus your attention off of you today. I want you to get your attention off yourself. I want you to get your attention off yourself and put your attention on the one who can do more abundantly, exceedingly, more than you could ever dream or imagine. God today wants to do a miracle in your life. God today wants to do great things in your life. We got to get our mind and our thoughts off of our poor self and say, God, who are you? What are you doing in my life? 1 John 2:2 says this, and I read this scripture for the first time the other day in a way that God just showed it to me differently, and I want you to see it. He is atoning, it's talking about Jesus. He is atoning, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's us here, right? That's ours. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. So if God is wanting to do a work in us, right? But also God's wanting to do a work where? In the world. He's atoning for our sins, and he's also atoning for what? The sins of who? The world. What does that tell me? That tells me that God's got a much bigger dream. God's got a much bigger picture than we could ever dream or imagine. God is just not wanting to atone the sins and get us right here. We can look back and say, oh, we're growing fast. We've had a steady growth. It's been good. We're a church plant. We've done this and this and that. Listen, God's got a much bigger picture in mind for Destiny Church. God's got a much bigger picture in mind for the four-state area. God's got a much bigger picture in mind than what we could dream or imagine. We got to begin to put God out of a box, that God is wanting us to dream big things. God's wanting to do big things, not only in the church, but it's just a pattern. This is just a pattern of what God is. This is just a pattern of how God thinks. He's not thinking about just you. He's thinking about everybody else, okay? Because his vision goes beyond just you and I, even though it is a very personal God and he sees us very personally. His vision is for the world. And so God is wanting us to realize that he's got a big picture, and God's wanting to do the move you beyond where your less is and take you to more. God's wanting to take you from less to more. He's wanting to take you there. So we got to get that thinking that God is wanting to do something. We got to stop crying over our coffee and having a pity party and realize that we are serve God who can do a little with a lot. We serve a God who can do a little with, he can take a little and do what? A lot. He says, if I be for you, who can be what? Against you. We serve a God who wants to do big things in our life. He wants to bring you out of your dark season. Your dark season is not permanent. It is just a journey that you're passing through to get you through a new season in your life. For those who don't give up, surely there is a vein of silver, as we talked about a few weeks ago. So let's look at this Matthew 18:20. I want to give you a couple things about the scripture. First of all, we see the name of Jesus is all powerful. Very cut and dry, but it's this. For the name of Jesus is all powerful. Where two or three are gathered, what? Together in my name. Because why? Because there is power in the name Jesus. When you're going through a tough season in your life, you realize this, that my hope is in the Lord. My confidence is in him, that there is power in Jesus' name. That's why when we pray, we don't just say a prayer and say, I just pray that you're healed and go on. No, I say in the name of Jesus. When I pray over you, you'll hear me say this. And our prayer partners, we all should be saying the same thing together. That when we pray over someone, we always say in the name of Jesus. Because it's not my power, it's his power. Because there's power in his name. That's not power. There's power in my faith, but there's power in your faith, but there's more power in the name of Jesus, because there is no other name given among men except for the name Jesus. There is no higher name. Now, there may be a popular talk show host who likes to claim that Jesus is only a symbol, but I'm here to tell you that's very false. He is not just a symbol. There is power in his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And when you're going through a dark season, you say, Jesus, right now, I declare your name over my season. I declare your name over my family. I declare your name over my health. I declare your name over my children. I declare your name over my finances. I declare your name over my family, over my marriage. You got to learn that there's power in the name of Jesus. The same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead is what is alive in you and I when we tap into it. And how do we tap into that? By saying, God, there's power in your name. As a believer, as a Christian today, I have the power to say, God, I call upon the name Jesus. We whisper his name and he draws near to us. What a personal God. That even though he saved the sins of the world and he's wanting to do a multitude, yet when I call his name Jesus, he draws very personal to me. Wow, what a personal God that we serve. How many times do we go throughout the day and we don't even call his name? How many times do we go out the day and we don't even tap into what the power of the name Jesus? I mean, you said, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. And you know, we're really good about church. The longer you're in church, the more you learn how to really pray right. You know, if you've ever been to a prayer meeting, I like to share this analogy. We go to a prayer meeting with a bunch of Christians, and you know, the first one prays, oh God, help us today, and thank you. And the next person, oh God, we really want your blessing today. And the next person, oh Heavenly Father. It's like a contest so you can pray the best prayer. You ever been there, right? I guess you haven't been to a pastor's meeting like I have, okay? And so, you know what I'm saying. Don't get me started on that. Okay, anyway, there's another message. But we're really good. You know, you don't have to know the best prayer, but you do know this. I know the name Jesus. I may not know Greek and Hebrew. I may not know the right exegesis, but I know this. I know the name Jesus. I can say Jesus. I can say Jesus. I can say Jesus. And sometimes you don't know what else to say, but you can say Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We got to learn that when we're going through a tough time, we declare his name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess at his name. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess at his name that he is Lord. So it's in Jesus' name that we have our victory. It's in Jesus' name that we have our healing. It's in Jesus' name that we receive our baptism. It's in Jesus' name that we receive our salvation, our redemption. It's in Jesus' name. Don't forget the power of Jesus' name when you're going through your tough time. Matthew 18, who's finding the second thing about this, is we must be gathered together. Matthew 18, 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You notice that you say, Pastor, I read that before. What's the big deal about being gathered together? How many know it's possible to be here and not be together? Do you realize it's possible for us to be here and not be together? When I was a kid, I'd hear pastors get up on a Sunday when maybe, you know, it was a snow day or it's really cold outside or it was a holiday weekend and the crowd was really low. And we get up and they'd use this verse right here. You know, this is always encouraging. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he's here. And they would leave out that word together. And always, you know, as I think you think about it, it really bothers me because it's important. It's just not gathering that's important. It's gathering together. The two go hand in hand. It's just not about gathering. It's gathering together. Because we can all be here, but we can have our minds in different places. Are we really together? I can have my mind on the pheasant that I missed, Ian, this week as I was hunting my pheasant trip. Darren, I can have my mind upon that next car I want to buy to rebuild. That motorcycle ride I want to do today. We can be here together. Troy, I can be thinking about that one that got away last week when I hit that ball all the way and the guy caught it right there. I've been thinking about how the Eagles may win, right? Okay. We can be thinking about all these things in our mind. Mike, we can be thinking about, all right, who's going to win a lot of money? Is the guy going to show up? I got to sell this car to you. All these things coming through. Our mind's going through. TJ, I can think about that free throw last night I missed. It's the easiest one. Dad said, practice your free throws. And I did. Our mind can be different places. We can be here but not be together. You know what I'm saying? It's important. That's why it's important. You know, if we would come in for the very first note and say, you know what? We're coming in together. One mind, one accord. God, we're coming in together. What's together mean? We're coming in with a purpose. And God, open up the sky. Let it rain, God. We want your presence here, God. We want your glory released among us. God, we want to see you do good things. God, we've come to bless your name together. Laying aside the things in your mind. That's easy. Listen, I'm right there with you. I know. Some of you have already checked your cell phone 3 times to find the score. You know what I'm talking about. It's easy to do, to get there right there and have a mind. But we got to come together. Come together, because there's power when we come together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. And so when you go into a tough season, there's nothing like coming together with people. You want to walk out of your darkness. You want to walk out of your tough season. Come together. Come together and see what God wants to do. Come together. Allow ourselves to be in unity. We got to come together. The more we get together, the more God shows up. I'm going to say it again. The more we get together, the more God shows up. And when they were in one place, in one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. And the Holy Spirit filled that place with tongues of fire. It's when they came, what? Together. Together. Not just being here. We come together in our hearts. We're saying, God, we're coming together. So when we come in this place on Sunday mornings, man, when we come together, what are we doing? We're smiling, we're shaking hands. But man, we're anticipating what God's going to do. We're anticipating that, God, we're going to give you the glory today. God, we're anticipating that, God, there's an end to darkness. And God, somebody here today needs a breakthrough in their life. And God, we're going to make sure you're here. We're going to make sure, because I'm going to invite you here. And I'm coming together with my neighbor and with that neighbor and the people over here in my section. We're going to worship the Lord. People right here in this section, you got to have it in your mind. You know what? I don't care what any other section does. My section is going to praise the Lord, because we're going to come together. We're going to be an example in spirit and heart coming together. And thirdly, we see that we must, realizing this, that Jesus said, two or three. Now, I want you to catch this. This is a very important principle. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered. Where two or three. We must understand this concept about our Savior. As I was reading this, I've read the scripture all my life, but the Lord was showing me something about our Savior here and a side to Him that we don't really grasp sometimes. Because with our Savior, it's always black and white, cut and dry. It's, you know, you do this, or, you know, this is what happens. It's just cut and dry. It's just the way it is. There's no gray area with our Savior. But when it comes to this point right here, He said, well, whether it's two or three, it's two or three. It's more or less. He says three's the target there. Three's the higher number we want to shoot to. Three is symbolic of multiplication. You know, two is just symbolic of addition, but three is the first symbolic of multiplication. We know what's happening. What's going on? The Trinity, the three, symbolic of the Trinity. Obviously, we know that three is what we're to shoot for. More is what we're to shoot for. But even if we don't have more, sometimes we're going to have less. Anybody walking in this house today saying, I feel like I had less to give, man, in my heart today. I just had less in my spirit. I had less of a drive, less of a passion. That's okay. But when you gather together and begin to say, God, I'm going to give you at least what I have. God, I'm going to begin to give you anything that I have. That God shows up and God takes that. It's a concept of our Savior. We've got to realize that He's saying either more or less. Because our God is a God of more or less. Sometimes He takes our less, which is a mess, and He makes it His best. God is the God who wants to take our less and make it the best, because He's looking for those who want to give it to Him. Matthew 13:44. Jesus is talking about a parable here, and he explains the meaning of the parable He just told. He says the meaning of this parable is basically this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then he, in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. What he's saying is this, that the man saw the treasure in the field, went and sold all he had, because he knew that if he could buy that field, he would have the treasure. And he gave all that he had and received that field. Same thing, principle in our life, that we got to give God all that we have. All that we have may be more sometimes than it is with others. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. Sometimes it's only at a level two, sometimes it's at a higher level three. But it doesn't make a difference. When we give God our more or our less, when we're just giving God what we have, that God shows up into your dark season. God shows up into your midst. When we learn to give God what we have, the kingdom of heaven is like the man who gave all that he had to receive the treasure of heaven. But if God can ever get his head in the right direction, He will run to you and I. Sometimes it seems like it's less, but God is looking for that. It was a prodigal story, the prodigal son that Jesus told. At the prodigal son who took his father's inheritance and turned his back on the family and went out and lived the Bible says, that a prodigal living where he sinned against the Father and sinned against heaven. And he wasted all of his money on drugs and prostitutes and this foolish living, party lifestyle. It says that while he was feeding the pigs during the famine, that's the only job that he did, was he feed the pigs and he could eat with the pigs. He ate the slop they were eating. It says that he came to himself. He came to his senses. It says, man, my Father's servants are eating better than this. If I could at least, if I can just, I'm not worthy to be called his son. I'm not even worthy I'm not even worthy to ask for anything. But if I just go and say, Dad, can I just at least work as a servant? And so he goes home, and it says that on his journey home, that when he gets down the road that leads to his house, that his father sees him from afar, and his father runs to them, embraces him. See, sometimes we don't have a lot to give, but if we can just ever give what we got and head in the right direction, God will run to you through your dark season. God will run through you when you feel like you smell like the pigs, and you say, man, there ain't nothing that could get any worse in my life. If you just focus your attention back on the Father and say, God, I don't got a lot to give left, but God, what I do have, I want to give it to you. God will take your less, and he will run to you and make it the best. God's looking for, he's the God of the more, and he's the God of the less. That means that when I'm in plentiful, I give him more, and he receives that, and he blesses it. But even when I go through the dark season, and I go through times of less in my life, less passion, less resources, when I give God the less, that he receives that just as well as he does the blessed. Matter of fact, I wonder if he doesn't even receive it more, because then it becomes a sacrifice. Because then it's easy to bless the Lord when you're being blessed. How many know what I'm talking about? It's easy to sing these songs when the musicians are up here and the praise is behind you. It's like, you know, it's right there, man. Heaven's coming down. But are you going to praise him when you're in traffic and you don't have a soundtrack? Are you going to praise him when you're just gotten into a fight with your family and you think, man, my wife and mom, man, my kids? Are you going to praise him then? Are you going to praise him when your job tomorrow morning, when you're heading there knowing you're walking into a tough situation? Are you going to praise him then? Then it becomes less. It's a lot less to give. It's a lot harder to give. It's a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice that pleases the Lord. When you're walking through your dark season, you got to learn that God wants to take your less and make it the best. We got to head in the right direction. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to what? To confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God chooses what? God chooses the foolish and the weak. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in luck. We fit in this category, you and I. Together we fit here. That God chooses the thing of foolish. God chooses the things that are weak, and he takes those things. He chooses the two. Not only the three, but he also chooses the two. He also chooses the less to take that and to bless it. God chooses and he uses. Why? Because God gets the most glory of someone who's most talented or somebody who doesn't have any talent at all, but says, God, I'll give you everything I can. And when you look at that person, you say, you know what? That's only because of God's grace. And some of you look at me now and you say, oh, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. Let me tell you, 15, 20 years ago, you'd have laughed at me if I told you I want to be a pastor. Matter of fact, my family did laugh at me when I told them I want to be a pastor. You want to do what? I still get that on Facebook now and then from high school friends. You're a pastor? They're laughing. I'm like, what's so funny about that? You know? Well, another offense, but just never seen it. I know you may have a hard time understanding me from time to time, but you should have heard me 15 years ago. I couldn't say two words without, you know, mumbling together really, really bad. I could barely talk. I even halfway stuttered at times. But you know what? God takes less and makes more. When we started Destiny Church, we didn't have any resources. We didn't have any finances. We just stepped out on faith, and God takes less and makes more. See, there's just times when you just got to give God. God, I'll give you what I got. God, I feel like my less is a lot more. I've had more times, but now I'm at the less, but I give it to the Lord. And he takes that, and he multiplies it in our life. When you're going through a dark time, it feels like you have less to give. That's a perfect, because you've got the perfect ingredients for a miracle to happen in your life. 1 Corinthians 15:6. Look what it says here. We find that Paul was teaching. He was talking about Jesus' last days on the earth. And as a matter of fact, in this conversation, he's teaching us here. He's teaching us that what Jesus' last commands to the people there on earth before he was ascended to heaven, after he had already been resurrected from the grave, and he had met his disciples and his followers Paul said that there was 500 people there in that last meeting. And in that last meeting, we know the scripture says that Jesus commanded them to go and to tarry in the upper room and to wait for the Spirit to be poured out. Remember that command in the book of Acts? We find this happening here. Jesus told them to go and tarry. We find out that Paul said there was 500 people there that Jesus told to go and tarry. But let's look at what actually happened in Acts. In Acts 1:15, it says only 100, Peter said only 120 people showed up. Jesus told 500 to go and wait, and only 120 showed up. So let's do the math there. That's 24%, okay? 24% showed up. Now, how many of us today, when we try to do something, how many know when you plan a party and only 24% of the people show up, you're like, you know, all this work for nothing. It's, you know, it's the way it is. Even on church on Sunday, if we show up and, man, we only had 24% show up, I'd be like, oh, Pastor Matt, you got to pray for me. I can't do this. You know, it'd be devastating. It's hard when you're expecting a higher number and it's only down to here. It's hard on a pastor and it's hard on faith. It's hard when you're expecting right here. But Jesus said this. He said, I told 500, but only 120 showed up. So what did God do? Well, sorry, guys. I know 120 showed up. Let's wait until in 2 weeks we got a free weekend. Okay? There's nothing else going on. Nothing else is happening. And so I know everybody will be there in 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, meet back up in the upper room, and I'll pour out a blessing. No, he took the less who showed up, and he made more. He started a revival that's still alive today, that's spread around the world. A revival of his Holy Spirit being poured out upon all flesh of those who seek him. The gifting of the Holy Spirit being poured out as tongues of fire set upon those that were there. It was a gift that he gave. It happened through what? It happened through the 24% that had there. It wasn't a lot. I'm sure the disciples were very upset. God, you haven't been gone a few days. We can't even get 24% here. Did you not see the resurrection thing? I mean, that's enough for me. You know, I said, you were crucified. Now you're appearing to us. Woo, you are the Savior. Okay? This is not rocket science here. I see this and go, wow, you are the Messiah. You did everything you said you would do. I'm going to be what you tell me to be. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. But only 24% followed through. But God still showed up. Why? Because God is the God of less. He will still take less if it's the best. And he will take it and run with it. And he'll meet you there. Sometimes we don't have a lot, but God takes it. It was the woman in the book of Mark. We find that she had an issue of blood. And she was trying to get to Jesus. Scripture says she was trying to get to Jesus. She'd been bleeding for years. And as she was trying to get to Jesus, she was trying to press, and the crowds are all around Jesus. They're pressing in shoulder to shoulder. The disciples are trying to get Jesus through the crowds of people. You know, you've seen those pictures of the Pope when the Pope's trying to go through so many people, holding their babies up, you know, bless my baby, you know. All right, that's the Pope, okay? This ain't Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus going through here now, the one who was raising people from the dead, the one who was opening up blinded eyes, the one who was doing miracles. I mean, people were trying to get to him at any cost. And so, people, I can just imagine what's happening. Seeing they're holding up their babies. They're, Jesus healed me. God, I need this. They're smashing toward him, pushing toward him. And this woman, she needed something from the Savior. And she's like, I just can't get to him. I cannot touch the Lord. But if I can just touch his hem, I may not be able to touch him right now, but if I can just touch his hem, the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, hey, hang on, stop. And he asked the disciples, who touched me? Now, those of you who know, if you've ever heard me teach a story, you know that's one of the most comical things I've ever heard in the Bible. It really strikes me funny. All these people touching Jesus, I mean, the multitude pressing in, and Jesus stops his disciples and says, who touched me? You know, and if I was a disciple, I'd be like, Jesus, they're all touching you. Everyone, you know, hello. Because there was somebody who didn't just touch him physically, because she couldn't get to him physically. She wasn't capable of getting to him physically. But she was able to crawl under the ground of the people, and she reached out and grabbed just the hem. And because she reached out in faith with what she had, Jesus stopped and went right to her in the multitude. Because she reached out in faith. It was just less that she had to give. Just less that she had. She couldn't reach the whole thing. But she reached to him, and she was made whole. You may feel like you're walking through the pig pen today. You may feel like you're walking through the dark hour. But get up where you're at. You may be walking through your darkest hour, but get up where you're at. Don't you sit down in your darkness. Don't sit down and cry in your darkness and say, I give up. What's the use? No, pick yourself up and say, God, I'm going to give you what I have. It's not much left, God. I don't have much emotion left. I don't have much passion left. I don't have much love left to give. But God, what I have, Lord, I'm going to begin to give it to you. God, I don't have much. But God, what I have, Lord, left, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to lay it at your altar, God. I'm going to give it to you as a form of worship, God. I don't have much song to sing, but God, I'm going to get out what I can. And God, I'm going to say your name. I mean, I feel like I can pray a long prayer today because I just don't have it in me. God, I can say Jesus. I can say Jesus. And I begin to go toward him and give him my less. Because he says what the less is there, that he will take it and he will multiply it. He's the God who takes our less and he runs to us and he wraps his arms around us. He is the God of more. He's the God of less. It doesn't make a difference what you're going through in your life. He will take that and multiply it. This morning, so I ask you this question. Do you need a God of more or less? Some of you today, as we're closing. Some of you today. You say, Pastor, I'm into more right now. I've been blessed, and I just love giving to the Lord. And our relationship's never been stronger. And I say, that's great. Keep it up. Don't stop. That's awesome. Others of you here today, if we were honest, we could say, you know what? I've got less. I've got less passion I've had in a long time. I've got less drive. I've got less, a lot of things, resources to give to the Lord. I feel like I've been devastated in things in my life. But today, if you'll just get your attention off of yourself. Just get your attention off of what's going on in your life. Say, God, I want to put my attention back on you. I want to begin to walk towards you. Some of you here today, you've been suffering in your addiction, suffering in your sin, and living there today. And you say, Pastor, I need to change before I come to the Lord. I need to change my lifestyle. I need to change some things up. I need to clean up my act. Then I'll come to the Lord. I say, no, you don't. Just come. Just come to him now. Just point to him now. Say, God, I'm ready today to come to you. God, I'm ready today to make a step towards you. Because when we do that, he comes to us and he wraps his arms around us with grace. He wraps his arms around us with mercy. He loves us. He takes us where we're at in our darkest hour. And he holds us. When we can't walk, he carries us. And when we can run, he runs beside us. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that you serve. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning where you're at. As I'm speaking this morning, there's people here today. You hear me say, Pastor, that's me. I need to run to Jesus. I'm not where I should be with the Lord. Maybe you accepted him a long time ago. Maybe you never have. Either way, you're saying, I am so far away from God right now. And today, I need to ask him to be Lord and Savior of my life. I need to begin to walk toward him. I need to quit trying to change things on my own and try to be good on my own. I've got to learn just to come to God right now. I've got to stop putting it off. I've got to stop waiting. And today, I've got to come to the Lord. Today, I've got to give him everything I am. I will not embarrass you in any way at all. And no one's looking but me. But if you're here today and say, I'm ready today to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, can you just raise your hands where you're at? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that decision. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I want to make a decision today. I want to make a decision to start walking toward him and just let his love come and flood me today. Anybody else today, you want to join these, raise your hands. Don't leave here without making that decision. The most important decision you can do is to turn to him. One more time, but nobody look. If that's you and you haven't raised your hand yet, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm ready right now to make that decision. Thank you for being honest. Thanks, God. Appreciate it. Anybody else, you want to join these? This is an awesome day. God's doing some great things in people's lives this morning. Before we go any further, I want to pray a prayer to those who raised their hands today. And those of you who raised your hands, I want you to pray this prayer after me, and we're all going to join you in this prayer, okay? So let's repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I give it to you. I come to you today, humbled, but willing to live for you. I believe you are the Messiah. I give you my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, amen. We say, welcome to the family of God. Give them a hand clap, yeah. If you prayed that prayer today, it's the beginning of a journey, as we're talking about, beginning of a new journey in your life. You need to make sure that you get plugged into the local church. If you don't have a home church, be here. Make this your home church. Be a place where you say, I'm going to be faithful. Get plugged in around people who are going to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Before you leave today, you'll stop by the back. Welcome City. We got a free packet for you. It's got a Bible, some other things in there. It tells you what to do next. Stop by and receive those today before you leave. I'm going to invite everyone to stand on your feet today. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to give God my more or my less? Wherever you're at, I'm ready to give God my more or my less. It doesn't make a difference where you're. I'm ready, yeah. Well, hands going up here, but we are ready to give God more or less. What a powerful statement this morning in our hearts to declare that, God, I am ready. God, I am ready. I am ready. I believe God is going to do something in some lives here today. He's already been doing it over the last couple weeks, and he's going to continue today as you make this declaration in your heart. God, I'm going to begin to walk back towards you, Lord, in faith. I'm going to quit doubting and quit making up excuses, and I'm going to begin to walk just like I am and go to the Lord and let him come and wrap his arms of grace around you today. Today, if you feel comfortable doing this, I want you just to raise your hands where you're at and say, today, God, I'm surrendering my life to you, the more and the less. We raise our hands as a sign of surrender, saying, God, simply this, God, we surrender our life to you. God, as we lift up our hands to you today, God, I thank you, Lord, for every person here, all those who said today they're willing to give you their more or their less. God, and we thank you, to God, that it's in those times of darkness that we feel like we don't have anything else to give. We feel like we have just very, very little left to give. And God, it's in those times when we'll focus back on you, God, and begin to take a step towards you, that, God, you come running toward us. We'll just take a step towards you, God, and open up our hearts, that, God, take what I have and use it. God, it will come to you. He'll come like a flood. His Spirit will come like a flood, and he'll wrap his arms around you today. And God, today I pray, Lord, that for those who have been walking through the dark hour, that God, today, that there is something breaking in their heart. There's something breaking in their spirit as they're walking towards you. They're letting go of those chains that have held them bound up, God, to where they're at. But God, today, they're taking steps of walking in freedom. Today is a new day of walking in freedom, God, as they walk toward the light, as they walk toward your mercy, as they walk toward your grace, as they walk toward your love today, God. I know that, God, you are going to meet them. You're going to run to them. You're going to run to us, God. You run to us. And God, we give you everything we are today, because the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure. And God, today we know that it's the most valuable treasure that we can have. And we give all we have. We sell all we have to purchase the kingdom of heaven. We give it totally to you, because God, we know this is what the most important thing in life is. And God, we put all of our hope in you, all of our trust in you today. And Father, with our hands raised right now, Father, I say, come Holy Spirit right now. Feel their hearts today, God. I just pray, Father, a fresh, this anointing of your Holy Spirit to flow through every person here today who's opening up their life to you, God. May they feel refreshed in their heart, refreshed in their spirit today, God, as they're walking, God, out of the darkness, God, and they're walking into a new season. God, it's a new season. It's a new day, God, that you are calling us to walk in. And God, we're leaving the old things behind. God, behold, all things are made new in you. And today, Father, we're walking in that promise, Lord, and we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Turn around to a few people and smile at them. Man, I was glad to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Remember, home groups tonight. We'll see you soon. Amen.